everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes or so. Once again, I'm honored and privileged to have with me somebody I have the utmost respect for. His name is Senator. That's not his first name, but that's the title I give him. Paul Mark. He's our senator, state senator. And I will tell you, he does a lot of really good things. I just printed out from LegiScan, whatever that is, sounds kind of weird, but Senator Paul Mark and all the things he has done for, it's what is it? One of four pages. How long you been in the Senate, Senator?
This is year two in the Senate.
Year two, right. Mm-hmm. And he has four pages of stuff he's done. I've known people that have been in politics 30 years and you couldn't put four pages of stuff they've done. But how you doing? How do you like it? I know it's a lot different than the House, but
it's good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad to be doing it. I'm obviously honored to be doing it. Sure. It's it is a lot of work. The House was a lot of work, but it's almost I'm not gonna say it's too much. It's almost unmanageable. And it's that time in the 2-year term cycle that we're starting to race towards the finish line. And so the Boston stuff is starting to pick up. And at the same time, there's always a lot of things going on in the district itself. So yeah, it's that moment where I think everybody in the Senate and probably in the House kind of feels underwater a bit. But all in all, I think it's going well. Like I said, I'm grateful that people trust me to be the person sent down there and to speak for really the whole county when we're in the Senate. So it's an amazing experience.
Well, I think speaking for myself and several of my colleagues that I chat with, you've earned the respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really have. When you were in the House, you were at the plate. You swung the bat every time. You maybe didn't hit a home run, but sometimes you got on base.
Exactly.
And I just really think today, politics, and for those listeners, Paul has both, the senator, has both a PhD and a law degree, but we don't hold that against him. But and I don't want to know the politics of it, but you're a legal mind. What do you think? I keep hearing weaponization of the legal thing. Do you think that's happening?
That's a big question.
I know.
I think for all time in a democracy, there are moments where everything is extremely fair. And then there are moments where things are extremely polarized. And I mean, we're in one of the polarized moments.
Yes, we are.
The third presidential election.
Yeah.
Which was John Adams against Thomas Jefferson. And then the fourth.
I remember it well. I was there.
The fourth, which was once again.
Yeah.
Vice President Thomas Jefferson against incumbent President John Adams.
Yeah.
And, ultimately you're going to have the next Vice President, Aaron Burr, have a duel and kill Alexander Hamilton. So, I mean,
that won't happen. Yeah.
So at the founding of our country, like we literally had executive office holders shooting and killing each other.
Exactly.
So that was literal weaponization. So I think that there are times where we struggle to find unity and there's times where we don't. If you're talking about a certain presidential candidate in particular, it asks a philosophical question. While someone is the president, I'm going to agree that while they're in office, they should probably answer for potential crimes after they're out of office because it creates a gray area. Like I'll just give in the Massachusetts House of Representatives, it says in the state constitution, you cannot be pulled over. You can't be stopped by the police on your way to vote to or from a session. And the reason for that is because we imagine the King of England is going to put up a roadblock and not let you get to vote against him. And so there's merit to that philosophically.
We
take for granted that we're on the up and up, but there's going to be moments in our history where we're not. So that's a really long way of saying, if somebody engaged in criminal activity before or while or after they were the president of the United States, I think when they are out of office, if there are sufficient charges to warrant an indictment, that they should answer for that. And if they are not guilty, they will be found not guilty or behind jury or whatever.
Right. Yeah. No. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I really think, you know, my whole life I've been in the criminal justice system, and you're exactly right. I can remember, who was it? Warren Burger. Remember Chief Justice Warren Burger? I'm old enough to remember his reign. So he did a lot of stuff for inmates. And I'm sure he did it with the very best of intentions. But and I was a kid, and, you know, not a kid, but a young person in the system. And the old guys and gals in the system were saying, but he never asked anybody. He just made these, you know, he didn't do his due diligence. Maybe you don't do that as a judge. That's the other part that bothers me. I read the, I'm a big court supporter. I don't care what court. The system only works. Our system only works when the judiciary and law enforcement and all these, the legislature, all are on the up and up. That's my opinion. And Bo, by the way, in case you forgot, I know you've been a lot on your mind. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, the mayor's office, and Peter Marchetti, the mayor, Pete White, the city council president, or the wonderful people who are doing what I should be doing, and that is walking on the Ashewiltecock Trail. But I'm here with a great senator from our district. What's the most challenging part, Paul, of your job? Some of these questions I've heard, but I've gotten from people after interviews, so I'm just reading them.
Yeah, it's multifold, I guess. It's as a human being who has a limited number of hours in the day and, you know, does actually need to sleep and eat at some point.
That was built in?
Surprisingly, I do have to do those things. It is a challenge to get everywhere you want to be, both in the district and in Boston. And then legislatively, it's a little easier as one of 40 as opposed to one of 160, but it is a challenge to convince others why what's special about this area is as important, if not more important, than their own district. And, you know, there is that collegiality and collaborative spirit in the Senate. And so you try to understand what's special about the Cape, what's special about the North Shore. You know, how do we make sure everybody's being treated fairly and getting a fair portion of what's available. But yeah, it can be a challenge when then within your own district, we get a finite piece of that pie. And then while we all serve the same number of people, my people are divided in 57 different communities in 4 different counties. And so even distributing that is challenging. And I try to do everything I can to make sure like no community feels left out, but I'm sure at times different parts of the district would like a little more attention, and maybe some would like a little less.
Well, you know, I was just scanning all your Senate stuff here, and they've mixed the House and the Senate in, which, you know, what you're dealing with when you deal with me. So try to keep it clean. Not you, the Ledgy scan, whatever that Ledgy scan is. But, you know, I'm looking down. You're supporting with Paul Mark motor vehicle to be equipped with adaptive beam headlights and technology. But you backed up your representative from Northampton, Lindsay, and I'll butcher her last name, Sabatosa. But that, so you're in there with them. And I also say, yeah, I mean, you're out there with, in Cummington, you're getting stuff for Cummington. And I don't want people to forget, and I won't let them forget, what you've done for rural school districts.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because, you know, it's nice if you live on Tremont Street in Boston. Everybody knows that. But if you live in Cummington, Windsor, Savoy, on, well, probably Center Street, because all of them got a Center Street, I think. But I want people to know that you're out there swinging the bat.
Yeah, it's interesting. The bill you mentioned is about those really bright lights that I think most people get blinded by at night, and trying to make them not do that, not allow people to have when you're the one driving your car that you can see well without impacting others that are approaching you.
Right.
And I like what you said. I think I probably am a co-lead sponsor with more house members.
Yeah.
And with, I have six reps that I overlap with, including one Republican, and we file, all six of us file bills together as a team. We don't do, oh, here's a House and here's a Senate, and we're going to have a competing bill. Like we do local things as a unit. And even the way the budget worked, the House goes in April, the Senate goes in May. And so if we have areas that are of common interest, you know, one takes a shot in April and then I take a shot in May where we need to do that. And so I appreciate you highlighting kind of the collaborative spirit. And then, yeah, it's a lot of territory. And so making sure that no matter which town or city you live in, which county you live in,
right,
you're going to have the same access and you're going to have that same ability that I'm going to try to get as much as I can for you, because that's what my job is.
But you're doing it, I guess where I'm going with this, you're a collaborator, you're a team player. You know, I had the congressman on, Congressman Neal, and we chatted, and I had the good fortune of spending a few years on Capitol Hill when I called it the Gilded Age, compared to what it is now. Now it's swords and black vests and helmets. But Tip O'Neill was the speaker, then Jim Wright, and then and Sil Conti and all the people from here, and the congressman, Neil was just starting. But even locally in the city councils and town meetings, and if you don't have the votes, you may be passionate for it, but you're not going to get it.
Right. And no one is such a great speaker or so compelling or so wise or so feared that when you walk into the Senate, the House, the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, the presidency, that other people are going to deny the interests of their own district in favor of yours because you're just so amazing. And anyone that thinks that's how they're going to find being in office is greatly mistaken.
No, thank you for that, because it's just honest. I mean, I was down there long enough to watch them make the sausage.
Right.
You know what? Nobody goes in there with a meat cleaver. Because if you do, the sausage never gets made and you lose fingers.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's a legislation. And this is a question. 30,000 foot overview of how you do legislation.
You mean personally, like how I come up with ideas or how the process?
You sit with a group of people. It may not be your idea. It may be your idea.
Yeah. So, okay. So
how you make the sausages.
Got it. Yeah. So when you're coming up with a bill, the way I do it is, there's some things that from the beginning were kind of my idea, kind of my concept.
Right.
And then some of them they become my idea or my concept, but they're based on when you're communicating in your own district, like what you hear and what people generally are concerned about. So if 10 people say to you they're concerned about the environment, they might not tell you what they want done about it, but you try to, I try to formulate something that might work. And then other ideas come from colleagues. Other ideas come from, say, organizations, American Legion Sierra Club, whoever it might be. People will approach you, especially if you're someone that the organization thinks is respected and listened to file legislation for them. But yeah, I would say the majority of it comes from people in the district. I would say the thing that has passed that has the best potential so far is that Green Bank I talk about.
Yes.
And that came about because I was trying to improve an idea that someone else had in a different, totally different, and I needed to go back to the drawing board and not do what they were doing. I had to find a completely different way of doing, of achieving the goal, but through a different means. And yep. I was very lucky. People in Greenfield, which was in my district at the time, had friends that knew friends that put me in touch and allowed me to collaborate on a concept that became, how do we bring this Green Bank thing that is existing in Connecticut to Massachusetts? So it's and then how the sausage becomes a sausage. You go through the years and you advocate, you build alliances, you build friends, and eventually the right person hears about it. In this case, the governor, the now governor, Maura Healey, heard about it on the campaign trail and wanted to take part in it. And so now it is a reality.
And the thing is, you have to be able to compromise.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the knucklehead that goes in there and just slams his fist or her fist and says, I'm not budging, and I'll say this. I mean, there are people, I think, in both parties, Democrats and Republicans, who just need to chill out, sit back, watch how the sausage is made. And I'm just a normal Joe, but I've been around, I've seen it, I've been in other countries where, this is the greatest nation in the world. It truly is.
Yeah, it is absolutely. And the sausage metaphor, it becomes, if we all want to make sausage, you like beef, you like pork, you like hot, you like mild, and you like veggie, the ultimate would be we make a little bit of all of it, and so then everybody gets what they want. And then you're right, some ideologues will say, I only like the hot kind, and that's all we should make. And that's just ridiculous. It doesn't work. It shouldn't work. And it causes unrest and strife. And it is not what a democracy is supposed to be about. A democracy is supposed to be about how do we blend a lot of opinions and get the best outcome for the people as possible.
And I not to blow smoke at you, but I think you do that because you got four pages of stuff. I mean, I Google others that they don't have four pages, just for lack. But the drive to Boston, I won't get into too much, but a person approached me about running for office. And I think the person would be a good knight for senator, but for a representative position. And I said, just remember this. You have to drive to Boston. And I can tell you, I did it for 5 years, drove back and forth to Boston. You can ask the bride. I had worked a deal out where I would leave here at 3:30 a.m. To be by Framingham. Otherwise, I was at Framingham at 8 a.m. And that was 25 years ago. So there you go.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten better, buddy.
No, it's gotten a thousand times worse, which is crazy.
Yeah. But I think people need to, before people run, and you can agree or disagree with me, but I think before people run for office, I don't care if it's city council, town, select person or whatever, get a real concept of what the job is.
Right.
If you want to be Paul Mark, well, get a view of a Paul Mark week.
Yeah. Oh my God. It'll make you think twice. I'll tell you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tried to tell him, what are you, nuts? And you know, but
I had an aide. So there was a young woman who I still think is amazing, but I thought was really amazing and had a lot of great potential to run for office someday.
Yeah.
And she didn't live in my district. There was nothing like that. And I actually approached her about working for me as a district aide. This is years and years ago. And she did it for a year and took a pay cut to do it and was amazing at it. And at the end of the year, she said, I will never run for office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched you for that year. I will never do this.
I really want to have a life outside of politics. But you must get some real tragic things that you work on, and you must get some really rewarding things that you bring to success. Can you give us a very arbitrarily, you know, anonymously, can you give us a couple of the examples of that? Because people really, I know you and I don't want to put myself in your category, but I am a student of history. I love reading about it. And,
yep.
What do they do? I said, no, I just get on a bus and sit around, shoot the breeze.
I mean, it could be something as simple as, and this is another thing that was collaborative. You mentioned the rural school aid. And so
right.
that didn't exist in 2018.
I know.
Yeah, there was no such thing. And for people out there that don't know what this is, rural school aid is an additional sum of money that will come to the schools that qualify as being in a rural area that have so few people, they essentially have no way of supporting their own school.
Right.
And it started off with like $1 million. And the year before I moved to the Senate, it was six million. And then last year we almost tripled it to 15 million.
Wow.
And then even in a tough year, we,
right,
on the Senate side, my amendment, we got it up to 17.5. And so, What is that? It's something that is not glamorous. It is not going to grab headlines. And yet it is going to allow 80% of the school districts in my yeah, Senate district to be in financially better footing than they would otherwise be. And we did great things for Pittsfield, too. I mean, we got extra money for the traditional Chapter 70. We increased the amount that school districts get per pupil. And so in Pittsfield, that's a benefit as well.
Yeah.
So we try to help everybody, but no, I can't think of much that's more important than, as a state, how we educate our kids and
100%.
Yeah. Making sure that they have the opportunity of a great future ahead of them. And you like to mention, which I appreciate because it matters to me personally, or it did when I was a kid, the school lunch program, you know, we're funding that again. And just tools that teachers and parents and students need to do well when they're in these classes is extremely important and never, not always glamorous, but very important.
I going back to my youthful offender days, not me personally, but that all depends who you ask. When I was growing up, I could have been a youthful offender. And I just did, I don't know if you noticed it, and I can get you copies of them if you want. I did open the door and open the windows to the Pittsfield school system. And I've gotten a lot of feedback through the years, some good and some bad. But I've been overwhelmed with positive feedback that people never actually knew the overall, all the programs, all the kiddos that need extra help, all the SPED kiddos, all, you know, the Eagle Academy for kids that are kind of rough around the edges. You and I realize that. I grew up, you know, on Vacona Street there. And but in associated with kids in the West Side and the North End at North Junior High, who that gave me a sensitivity to how lucky I was to have the parents I have and all that. But also it sensitized me, and I think your own life experience sensitized you to reach out and put programs in place to help these kids.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, definitely. And like we've talked about the lunch. I'll talk about another like unglamorous thing. This is 2014, and
I thought you were going to talk about me when you said unglamorous.
In Franklin County, there were machine shops in a county with one of the higher unemployment rates in the state.
Yep.
And that couldn't find anyone to work at their machine shop because people didn't have the skills. And so a collaboration between the community college over in Greenfield, the tech school over in that area, and the business community themselves put up a good amount, like $250,000 at that time, a lot of money.
Wow. Yeah.
A partnership was developed that an advanced manufacturing program was started that offered training that has led now for almost 10 years to people getting jobs in that county, those businesses being able to grow. And it was something I was the lead on the budget amendment that got the money, the state portion. Yeah. And, you know, just always important to me because back to like my life experience and father losing his job and not having training that he needed to make himself still marketable at his age. You know, really things like that could have helped. And now that the Mass Reconnect program, which is if you're 25 or older, you can go back to community college.
That's correct.
Having those resources available for people to take advantage of, whether it's educational, getting back into the swing of college, or even an academic credential is going to help you with workforce. And if it helps a potential worker, it's also helping a potential employer. And it's really important. HADAD and Taconic, they have a great program with Toyota Motors. I mean, it's great. It's amazing.
And you know, when we talk about that, I can remember, you probably remember this night. They were discussing vocational programs for the new Taconic. And I'll never forget it. I was watching it on TV because they refused to put recliners into the rooms there.
Hmm.
And I can't watch TV unless I'm in a recliner. Hmm. So Desi, right? Is Desi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I call him Dipsy. They came up and they were going to do away with metal fabrication and welding. Right. And somebody had to remind them that we have the armored car people here, that one of the largest armored car manufacturers in the world.
Right. Right.
And I mean, I think sometimes they got to get out of Boston more often. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And what you've done with that, think of that place. That community would have just shut down if that place left.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right. I'll give credit that I find, oh boy, in the Senate, I would say of 40 senators, I've had 20 of them at least come to this district in my first term. And the lieutenant governor's out here a lot. The cabinet secretaries are out here a lot. It's good. We seem to be getting noticed. We seem to be heard more than
and for good things.
Yeah, exactly.
For good things. Help us. Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly, we got to take a break, but I will just say this: when they come out to study Mayor Linda Tyer's approach to the COVID virus, putting together a team. That and they took much of what they learned back to you. Where best in. All right, we got to take a break. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark. I so enjoy this interview. He's so real. He's so transparent. He's so good, and he's always his life experiences have led him to care greatly for other people. All right. And because of all that's going on, this, my friends, is my flag. And I'm going to take a break now. This is WTBR 89.7 FM. We are also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And again, God bless America. This is my flag. I wore the uniform. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I am here with someone I have the utmost respect for. He's transparent. He's honest. He's not had an easy life, but he's made a lot out of himself and for himself. His name is Senator Paul Mark. I first met him, I think, years ago when he first lost his mind and decided to run for the House. And I interviewed him then, and I said, this guy is something special. And he's never let me down when he was in the House, and now he's in the Senate. And we were talking about some of the bills that he gets for Western Mass and Northeastern Mass and the outside of the Boston metro area. And he works collaboratively with his colleagues. And we now can see, I think, all of us that we need to come together as a country, as a group, and move forward. So, Paul, what are your challenges for this year?
Well, so now the
legislative year.
Yeah. The House and Senate portions of the budget are done. So now in the next month to 6 weeks, the differences will get ironed out. And so hopefully that'll happen quickly. And if revenue stays strong, which things seem to be rebounding, then we'll be in a position where all the local priorities will remain and we've been doing things in like a really financially intelligent manner, I think is the way to say it. We
got a couple billion dollars in a rainy day fund, right?
Yeah, I believe we have the highest ever, and we're closing in on, like, we're actually only allowed to save so much. So like we're in the position where we should be. And so short of that, the budget is still on the burner, not the back burner, not the front burner, just on one of the burners. And now we have that housing bill we've been waiting on, the economic development bill we've been waiting on. In theory, there's going to be some kind of an energy bill. And the House did a health care bill, so the Senate might do a health care bill. There's a lot to get done. We work year round. I'll be working till the end of the year for sure. But The way the session works, it changed that as of August 1st, unless there's an emergency, we don't have recorded votes. So there's certain things we have to get done by that August 1st deadline. Okay. So now all of a sudden we have to move at a quicker pace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's June.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly.
Yeah. I just thought I'd remind you. but you know, I think for people too, I really believe that working, and you see it, you're there, unless you're just really a rebel. I've never seen rebels get a lot done. I'm sorry. That's just mine. Really. I mean, I don't know. I just worry about where we're going. Now, I don't worry about Massachusetts. Well, I think you guys should go down and teach D.C. how to act.
That would be good.
Yeah. And you know, education, and I lost my train of thought there, but I don't even know where the tracks are anymore. Never mind the train. When I was running the Violent Youthful Offender Program, the number one was parental abuse, not caring, whatever. Number two was education. And a lot of kiddos who come from some of those environments, and all the kids that come from really good environments, they have educational problems. And what I like and what they're doing now in Pittsfield, they've got a lot of different things, pathways and all that. Paul, you should look into that, what they're doing with the pathways. They're amazing.
Yeah. And you're making me think of something in the budget. There's a program that brings science into the schools, and I help them get money
in
the budget. And I've been out with them to two different elementary schools in Pittsfield, and watched as these kids in like third grade, really young, are learning how to build like an oscilloscope. I can't build an oscilloscope. So
whatever you say.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's pretty interesting and amazing. And you know, getting young people interested in science, interested in math, and interested in education in a way that's fun, I mean, is gonna I mean, those are the jobs of the future. Obviously there's gonna be other stuff, but I think science and math and tech is going to just continue to become a bigger part of our workforce as we move forward. And kids that are in third grade now, how old are they? 9, 8? I don't even know. Yeah. 8 or 9.
I think so. Yeah. They got it.
Yeah. Think about how different the world's going to be when they're 29 or 39, and having that ability to compete. And, you know, you hate to say for like an 8-year-old to have to think about competing, because they don't have to yet, but they need to be. You mentioned tracks, like they need to be on the track, because the future of the world seems to be largely determined by who is going to be the best at tech. I mean, things are changing, and tech is going to help us with agriculture. It's going to help us with hopefully climate mitigation. It's going to help us with housing, is gonna help us with a lot of things. And like there's when I look at like that AI, the artificial intelligence, there's things that are scary and there's things that are worrying, and then there's also things that seem to have like a lot of amazing potential. Like maybe when a calculator invented, that was scary too. I don't know, but it's a world where if you can't compete and play in that format, you're gonna have problems. So
absolutely.
The more education we can give anyone, the better off they're going to be in the long run.
And I think we have to step back and assess each grade what we're teaching. Yep. I like you, I've tried to stay up, and I'm concerned about artificial intelligence. And I think you've nailed it. We've got to get on a track where we're preparing now for what could be the future, because there won't be any dishwasher jobs. That will be done by robots.
It seems that way. It's increasing automation. Yeah.
And you know, let's not make, I don't know, this isn't going to come out right, but I hope people understand it. We can't make life easier academically to just appease. We have to hold the mark, because pretty soon, if you can't understand technology like me, right? I got a whole team behind me. They call it the crew at PCTV operations. You're going to be out in the cold. I mean, there won't be the jobs that. Unskilled labor is not, I've never liked that term, but those jobs will be disappearing to robots.
It's going to be a different world.
It's a different world than when I was little. It's a different world than when you were little. And yeah, really? We have to adapt. And part of education is not everyone has the same skill set. And
right.
So if you need glasses to read, give the person glasses, you know? And
yeah.
If someone is better at one thing and they're interested in one thing and they could be encouraged to go in that way, then right. They're probably going to be happier. Who said it? I don't remember. It's someone famous. They said, if you do a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there is a truth in that.
I had a father-in-law who went to the Stockbridge School.
Yep.
And he graduated. Mm-hmm. And he was very happy to work outside.
Yep.
But then he had a family.
Yep.
And then he found out people don't pay that well when you have five kids. Right. So he went and he worked in the General Electric. And he said to me, pretty paraphrasing what you just said, I don't care what you do, Bill, but whatever it is, make sure you like it. Because every day I walked through those gates going in, I didn't like my job. But I did it because I had to feed my family.
Right. And
so there's a lot of real truth to what you just said about that.
Yeah, I wish I could remember who actually said it.
Yeah. Here's what you do when you're dumb. What, say it again. Here you go. What? Say it again.
If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. Paraphrasing. Are you looking it up?
If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life.
This statement is often attributed to the ancient Chinese sage Confucius.
Confucius, he knew his stuff. There you go.
His job choice flexibility.
Oh, God, I just wanted the answer. I don't need the whole
presentation. But see, you just used AI to benefit your life.
I know. Well, if you had my memory, I use AI 1,000 times a day. Where's the car? This AI is, I think... To me, because I guess I've evolved with AI a little bit, because when I was a kid growing up, the phone was attached to the wall.
Mm.
And when it rang, someone answered it, unless it was dinner time.
Right.
And in my house, anyhow, nobody answered it.
Yep.
And my father would always say, now, who would be calling at 5 o'clock at night? Don't they know it's dinner time? Yeah, the evolution of computers, the evolution of cell phones. There's been good, and you just pointed it out. There's going to be great things from it. And there's going to be hazardous things from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cell phones. Look at what they've done to bullying.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's amazing things like you can check if a restaurant is open on the way. You know.
Yeah.
You check movie times. I mean, there's things you can check traffic. I mean, there's a lot of good things that I couldn't have imagined 30 years ago. And then, yeah.
Even some of these medical breakthroughs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really and truly. I just think sometimes in life that we got to sit back and say, where are we individually now,
mm-hmm.
here? And where do we want to be next week?
Right. And
I know you want to be in Boston because you like to ride.
It helps.
I don't envy you, brother. I think the other thing too is, and I know you have nothing and you can't probably do anything, but I think the federal government was very harsh and very short-sighted to pull all these readjustment counselors, remember the people they funded through January
mm-hmm,
of next
mm-hmm,
year
mm-hmm.
to help get kids back into school.
Yeah.
They pulled the plug on that. And I don't think we're there yet. Talking to teachers, we're still catching up learning wise.
Yeah. It seems like that the class that graduated, it was MCLA, but the class of 2024, they were the class that graduated high school 2020, which was the year they all went home in the middle of almost the middle of the school year and
yeah.
probably started their college careers remotely. And so, yeah, it's a, it's been an interesting time, and there's certainly adjustment and help that I can't imagine. You and I have talked about it. If you like were starting first grade that year, that must have been a challenge, or kindergarten, or whatever it is. So
somebody was telling me that third grade or fourth grade, it's the first year they've been in school.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild.
Right. So you and I came into kindergarten and kind of matured in the fourth grade. They've come in from a computer screen to like being in a room and talking with other people.
Right. Right. Yeah. The socialization part is interesting to see.
Yeah. So, okay. So to your point, there probably is some more work needed.
Yeah. You know what I did the other day? I was going through some old papers, and I came on the Barrington report about COVID, signed by I don't know how many scientists, and saying back then we messed up. We're messing up. Not we messed up. We're messing up. Mm. And they went through this litany, and I read it, and you know what's it's proven to me? They were right. Especially with the schools, closing the schools, closing business, closing the economy. I can remember I had a professor, Jonathan Manns, his name was, Dr. Jonathan Manns. And at one point in time, he was one of the foremost authority on AIDS in the world. Mm. And he, you know, he talked about the Spanish flu. And how do we get out of the Spanish flu? Well, you either survived it because you were hardy, or you got it and you built up antibodies. So I being a legislator, it's not, it's a job that requires, in my opinion, a lot of thought and a lot of study.
And a lot of patience. Yeah. Cause
patience. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people give you a lot of information from many different angles, and in some cases, a little bit of it is all correct, and you need to blend it. And in some cases, people feel very strongly about things that are just not right. It's not accurate, right. And right. It is. You have to be able to listen and learn and make people feel heard. I think is really important. And then you have a duty. This is why I say, I'd like to come on here with you. We have a duty to educate as well. So like when someone asks, like, why did this happen?
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to tell you this is why. And then when they ask, well, I thought this, you say yes. And also this is true. And you didn't know this. And hopefully this makes you feel better about it. And I think 99% of the time when I talk through something with someone, they, even if they don't agree, they at least understand and respect. It's very rare that someone just insists that, well, there's no way. But you hope that anyone, when you are interacting with other people, that you're always willing to listen and learn something, because there is a lot out there to know, and none of us know everything.
You're exactly right. And you know, I mean, I'm looking at what we could be facing in the future in this country. And my fear is we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
We've got a million plus gotaways. Now they're saying Chinese military men of Chinese age are coming over. I don't know. I don't know. But I wish I could hear some rational discussions.
Rational discussion is nice, and putting aside differences to, you know, preserve the best outcome and living situation for all of us, I think should always be paramount. Again, you know, you can disagree.
Right.
But there should be the ability to come to some form of an agreement. And when there is an agreement, we all stick together until the next time. And then again, you collaborate, you discuss, and then once a decision is made, you do the best at it
that is possible. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I first started on radio, it's unbelievable now. It's years, but I embraced this, and I try to embrace it still. We can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. And I also believe that people have a right to be on this program. Mm-hmm. I don't have to agree with you. I don't even have to like you. But you have a right to be on this. And I've tried to live up to that in my time on radio. Mm-hmm. I believe me, I'm not a peacemaker, mm-hmm. but I try to be understandable, understand your position.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very good at that. And I think in fairness to you, that's why, Paul, you got these four pages of legislation. You know, I mean, really, some of it is require healthcare employees to develop and implement programs to prevent workplace violence. Mm. Well, you know, I've had a guy on, a doctor who's on, he's an emergency room guy. And his thing is, get the guns out of people who have mental health issues so they don't commit suicide or kill somebody.
Yeah.
Wow. What a revolutionary. But I guess, you know, I'm thinking back at one point when he first brought this up with his colleagues, he said, well, that's not our job. We're doctors. Right. So you're going to get any time off this summer?
Maybe in August. August is generally a down month. Both years even. So that's like the best possibility for me, but no, I think it's going to be busy, and you know, I'm happy to be busy. I like having a lot to do, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And you love to drive.
Yeah, I like to drive.
No, you love to drive. Keep telling yourself that. I love to drive. I as a citizen of the Commonwealth or of Massachusetts, and as a person who lives in your district, I would personally like to thank you for all that you do for all of us on an almost daily basis. And I have to say this, your aide that was with you the other night, he's on top of things.
Oh, Joey, yeah, he's an intern. Yeah. He's graduating high school. He's a smart kid. He's going to have a great future.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's mature. Hope this doesn't offend him.
Yeah.
He's mature beyond his years.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's gonna go to Suffolk University in the fall.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so no, he's a good kid out of Gateway High School. So
wow.
So he travels. So to get to Pittsfield, he travels. That age is.
I was gonna say, dude. You could have got a job a wee bit closer. The last thing before I let you go is that as we kind of go into this new AI, this new all this stuff, how do you feel that that will, because the reason I'm asking, as I said, Paul has a PhD and a law degree and a high school diploma too. So how do you feel that will affect education?
Yeah, it at its best, it opens doors. It lets people pursue an education around their own schedule. If you're saying if a elementary school kid is having a problem learning something, maybe it asks AI questions in a way that a teacher isn't able to dedicate the time, you know, because there's so many kids in the class, whatever it might be. There's a lot of great potential. I couldn't have imagined. Like even right now, you can look up any song you've ever heard of in the world, and you can essentially play it within 90 seconds of having thought of it. And you know, that wasn't a thing when I was a kid. At its worst, you got to worry about if you're using this thing to do the work for you. Like, why did you bother? And what the credential you pursue and achieve? Do you actually have it? I mean, so I get to teach a class. I taught a class at a. I'm going to teach a class at MCLA over the summer.
Okay. And
yeah. I'm going to say to them, if you're doing it, there's no way I'm going to know. But what was the point of you? What was the point of taking the class? You know, if it writes the essay for you.
Well, I'm not sure that's correct, because I just read two kids, and I can't remember where, the teacher ran the thing through some AI that they didn't write this. This was written by the AI. Wow. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Paul, I can't thank you enough. Continue serving us so very well. And I'm always here for you. If you want to get anything out, just have your guy get a hold of me, and I'll be more than happy to do it. And again, thank you for what you do for the people of Western Mass and your whole district, but also for the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Thank you.
And because of the cost of ink, would you cut back a little bit, 4 pages? Thank you for everything. And folks, I got a couple of announcements. Paul, you can stay, you can go, it's up to you. St. Mary's School Bingo. Join us Saturday, June the 8th, St. Mary's School. I am a big supporter of Catholic schools, big supporter of all education. The game starts at 2:30, Saturday, June the 6th, and I believe this will be it until the fall. So whatever you do, don't miss it. Strike Out Cancer, an all-day, excuse me, all-day baseball game and women's softball Saturday, June 29th, Clapp Park, 9 a.m. I'm sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. $10 donation. Find out more. You can go on email, jdicico, D-I-C-I-C-C-O, 7@AOL.com to get more information. And, boy, I don't know what's happening. I might talk to him. You think so? Well, like maybe. You got my fingers to work. How we did the next announcement. Tough when you get old, buddy. This is really kind of cool, too. This is coming right up. I have already missed a date on that one. I'm sorry. Folks, thank you, Paul, Mark. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, this is my flag, and I'm very proud of it. And I just want to say to people, God bless you. God bless America. And let's do something nice for somebody, even if it's just a smile and a wave. Paul Mark does for all of us almost every day. Thank you, Paul Mark. Be well, my friends, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Keep on.